Okay, so who are you?
I'm Michael Klucher. I'm a program manager on the XNA community game platform teams.
Wow, what an official answer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So how long have you been working for Microsoft?
About 2.5 years now, so since December of 2005.
And where were you before that?
Before that, I worked at a company in Phoenix, Arizona called Rainbow Studios. They're probably most famous for doing Motocross Madness, which was a racing game on Windows.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Okay, so... today we're going to talk about some of the new tools coming for Game Studio Express or XNA. So why don't you tell us what you got coming on down the pipeline?
Yeah, sure. So in probably a couple weeks from now, we have the XNA Game Studio 3.0 community technical preview coming out, and that's going to be the first look that people get at Zoom game development with XNA Game Studio. So we announced that at GDC this year that we've talked about a
lot.
That people can start making games for their Zoom and trying that out and seeing how that works.
So this is the first time anybody's going to be able to actually build a game and have it deployed on their own Zune. So if somebody owns a Zune that's an XNA developer, they can actually then build their own games.
Yeah, exactly. They can
cool.
create a new project in XNA Game Studio that's for the Zune and deploy it over to the device and play the game that they just wrote.
Okay, so you're going to walk us through this now?
Yeah, sure. So why don't we take a look at one of the Zune devices? So this is a Zune, 80 gigabyte Zune, and you can see I've deployed some games over. So now, in additionally to the menus that are there, we have a games menu. So this is just for games that I've deployed to the device. So when I do that, it's going to enumerate all the games that I have on there, and you can see there's a couple that I've been working on, and a couple of the ones that we showed at GDC. Like Zori. So Zori is a space shooter game that was created by Julian Selman, who is also a Microsoft employee on the Zune team. And we really enjoyed it, really liked playing it, so we decided to use that as the game that we showed at GDC this year, and it just crashed.
So, awesome.
That's good. Let me try that again. I bet none of these run now that I deployed my framework over.
Multiple frameworks?
Yeah. Let me grab another Zoom from there, and I'll just... Sorry about that. I am not prepared at all. That is not a good Zoom to use. Yeah, what happened is
we're... So let's talk about the challenges of debugging where you have multiple frameworks. So this is actually... you have multiple versions of the XNA framework.
Right, so...
So those games are expecting a version, and you just deployed another one, and that doesn't work.
Correct. So we're actually in between builds right now, so I can set this one up, and we can take a look at it in a bit. But if we want, we can take a look at debugging on
this
thing.
Yes. What a perfect segue.
Yes. So basically what I can do is just hook my Zune up using the normal USB cable.
Okay.
And just leave it like it is and basically go ahead and create a new project. And you'll see under my project templates, I now have Zune games and Windows games.
And give me just one second here. So you didn't have to update the firmware on the device, or does that firmware update automatically happen when you, say, click deploy?
So it's actually two-part in that you will need an update on your... You'll need to be running the latest firmware on your Zune.
Okay.
And basically, once you create a Zune project the first time, it's going to deploy over the needed files to make Zune development possible.
Okay. And you're not actually using the Zune client app at all?
Yeah. You do need the Zune client installed, but you don't actually have to use it to create a game or anything like that.
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
So I'll just give this a name. We'll call it Hello World. And... basically, you can see, if you look at the code, it's very similar to what we have today for other projects on XNA Game Studio. So the project template is pretty much exactly the same. You can see the famous cornflower blue line that's available on Windows and Xbox 360 projects.
That's Tom Miller to blame there.
Yes, and from here I can just hit F5 and basically run the game, and it's going to deploy it over to the Zune. So if you look at the screen on the Zune, you'll see that it's running the XNA Game Studio Connect screen and kind of giving me some information about what's going on with the deployment and that the game is starting up right now. So if this was the first time I've deployed a game over, it's actually going to deploy some files to run the first time, which is the framework itself. But since I've already deployed something, it goes right into Cornflower Blue and starts running.
Okay, so now we have our game's been deployed there, and do we have the ability to debug into that?
Yep, so I can set this down for a second so I can use the keyboard, but I can set any kind of breakpoint right here, and you'll see that it stops, and I can get information about what's going on and that type of thing. Now, because this runs on the NetCF, I can't actually make code changes while I'm working, so if I try to type something, you'll see that edit and continue isn't supported. But I could have variables that I change the settings on or that type of thing here. So what I can do is just hit Shift-F5 to end my debugging, and basically that's going to tear everything down, and you'll see on the device again, it's back to the debugging screen and waiting for a connection again.
Okay, cool.
So one of the games that we can walk through real quick is called Alien Takeover, and Mitch Walker, who's another PM on our team, put that game together, and it shows a lot of the features on Zune and that sort of thing. So we're hoping to make this available at some point to everybody through our website and as kind of a starter kit or just a end-to-end sample that users can download and play with. So I'll go ahead and start debugging that, and you'll get to see this time, like, hopefully some of the files deploy over real quick, like you saw there. Again, like Xbox, if I've deployed the files and they haven't changed, it does an incremental deploy, so you're not constantly waiting.
For the 5 meg and all those textures to,
right,
to push
exactly.
Over.
So you'll see this start up. It's going to run probably a little slower than you might expect because we're actually debugging at the same time. But I can select an option using the touchpad on the Zune 80. So we have it both, so it works with clicks as well as touch, and start a game. And this is just kind of a simple shooting game where you move the tank across the screen, you control the speed by how far of the edge that you're touching, and then you click the center of the Zune pad to fire basically a bullet at the ships. So you get points for that. You get combos where if you hit 5 ships in a row, you start getting multipliers on your score. And after I complete a level, it switches to nighttime and you get monsters instead of ships coming out of the sky.
Cool.
That you need to hit. So another cool thing is this has a menuing system in it where I can go down here and select quit. And basically, one of the cool things that we enabled with the framework on Zune is the ability to tie into the media library. Mm-hmm. So if I go to options and select that, I can actually go through the songs that exist on my device and start playing those.
Awesome.
So I can select those type of things. And you actually have the ability through code to enumerate basically all the songs that are on the device, initiate playback of those songs, and basically blend it into your game. So it's really cool.
And do you have access to the metadata about that song, so like, say, times played or, you know, album, artist, release year? Is it effectively, do you have all the information on the...
Yeah, in general, basically, all the metadata that gets synced down to the device you have access to. So you can look for songs by a specific artist, or songs that are on a specific album, or genres, or those type of things you can all enumerate against.
Cool. Very cool. Okay. So we deployed our application. Now you showed a working application, and some of the challenges for building on a Zune, because you don't have the keyboard, you don't have the dual input, you don't have necessarily... Actually, different Zunes have different input mechanisms. So
yep.
So what are some of the challenges? What parts of the XNA framework are not available in the Zune? Like, what's the Zune part of the XNA framework?
So the biggest thing by far is that, excuse me, the Zune is 2D only. Mm-hmm. So there's no 3D APIs or capabilities on the Zune. Most of everything else we've actually translated over to the Zune, and we've made some new stuff available on Zune first that we're actually going to make available on Xbox and Windows later, like the media APIs that we just talked about.
Okay.
With input, it actually works just like an Xbox 360 controller, which is kind of cool. So if you click the center of the Zune pad, which is right here, that's going to basically, just like you click the A button on an Xbox 360 controller, if you hit the play pause button, that's going to be like hitting the B button on an Xbox 360 controller.
Okay, so you guys are at least publishing sort of like standards. Here's how you should play. Like, your main button should be the center click. This should really be sort of like your alt, if you will.
Right.
If
you look at one of the smaller Zunes, you could tell pretty easily that using a small Zune as a two-handed gaming device probably isn't a comfortable way to play a game or that type of thing. So we kind of consider that most people are going to use the Zune pad. As you mentioned, that there is a lot of difference between the Zune 1 interface and the Zune 2 interface, which actually allows touch. Clicks both work on this device as well as the V1 device. So when you create a game, you want to make it as cross-version possible. So, you know, you'll want to actually take into account that a user can click a button as well as use the touch functionality to navigate around. Additionally, a person could turn off the touch functionality on their V2 device. So those are kind of things that you'll want to take into account. And not in the CTP, but in our final release, we have APIs that allow you to tell, is this person running on a V2 device? Are they running on a V1 device? That type of thing.
And are you guys going to have examples for how you get, say, wireless, say, co-op or multiplayer, or, you know, you're doing a trivia game or something like that on the plane, and you turn your Zune on and there's 10 other people?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully you're not using wireless on the plane and you're, you know, respecting all FCC regulations.
Of course.
No. As we talked about at GDC, basically, you know, the networking support that we have is just like Zune Send works today. So you can play a game with other people in the room. It works from Zune to Zune, that type of thing.
And I'll be able to share my games as well. So, like, if that person doesn't have my game, will I be able to send that game to them?
So that's something that we're looking at. Right now, especially with the CTP, we're very focused on just getting developers up and running on the platform.
Sure,
really about developing the game and having that functionality. Those are things that we are looking at that we would like to enable at some point. But you do have the ability to basically play with anyone. The APIs for networking are exactly the same that you have with Windows and Xbox 360.
Okay, cool. And the networking stack will be in that CTP? Is there anything that you think is big that won't be in that CTP
The biggest things are really the APIs that I talked about for finding out really what type of device you're running on. Additional information that you may get from those APIs are like battery life or those type of things. And we don't really have all those notifications in yet. We pretty much have everything else in the way of graphics, input, networking, the simple sound APIs, which are brand new, so you don't have to use Exact anymore to author your sound effects before you use them in XNA Game Studio, which is a big customer kind of request that we've had, where they can take their WAV files and drop them in Visual Studio and just use them.
Right. All right, so we talked about some of the deployment stuff. What about customers that want to, I know this is probably like the next step down the road, but actually share games? So, like, a lot of times you found devs that want to share. Like, does it, at least still now in the CTP land, you got to have your friend tell him to download Visual Studio and then use Visual Studio to deploy to that device? That's still going to be the story, I'm assuming, since you're focusing on the dev.
That's still the story right now, is that, you know, the way you'll share your game with somebody else is you can zip up your project and send it to somebody. We've actually seen a lot of people already starting to do that with different games that they're prototyping on Windows right now for Zune when we eventually ship and that type of thing. So that there is a lot of, you know, sharing of that kind of stuff going on, which is really cool. But, I mean, in general, you know, we're always kind of thinking about the next step to take from here. But, yeah, kind of like I mentioned, we're really focused on just enabling the really core development experience on Zune.
Sure, sure. And sorry, so I'm going to ask you yet another question not related to dev, but, like, will I be using the Zune software to find and discover games the same way I do for, say, movies or TV or radio?
So we don't have anything around that right now.
But, like, that's the future thinking, just for clarity, or you...
We really don't have anything defined around that right now.
Okay. I'm going to lock you down.
Yeah. I definitely think people would, you know, that people want that and that sort of thing. And like I said, we definitely want to give people generally kind of what they're thinking and, you know, expand that ecosystem as far as is getting people thinking around how they make their games available to the world. But we really haven't done any kind of work down that path yet.
Okay, and what about people that, are there any size limitations to Zune apps? So, like, let's say somebody wants to do an information-style application that isn't necessarily like a game, but more like a portable Wikipedia or the portable French dictionary, or you can imagine, you know, the French dictionary game where you match up words or something like that, and you listen to the audio. Like, are there any size limitations or things that people need to be concerned
about? So, the only real limitation is that you get 16 megs of RAM for your runtime data.
Okay.
So, essentially, like, you can only have 16 megs worth of code and content loaded into memory at any time.
Okay, so as long as it's only at the same time, contiguous, right?
Correct. I mean, we do have the theoretical kind of limit of 2 gigs per container that's deployed to the Zune. But I think most games or even informational type things are going to fit in that pretty easy.
Yeah, maybe if you try and download all of Wikipedia with the images.
Right, that might cause
actually,
some problems.
Actually deployed. Okay, so cool stuff. And the Zune is coming in a couple weeks, and people can download it from...
Basically, the best place to go is creators.xna.com, and you'll be able to download the CTP that we'll be releasing and get started developing games on your Zune.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Sure.